Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Okay, maybe there we don't go. Am I the only one that don't hear the intro music? Is it just me? I think it's just me. Can you hear me, Miss Unbelievable? No? All right, let's check it out. I hope I ain't interrupting nothing. So we're going to start it off like this. Tonight, we're going to take y'all back just a little bit to get y'all ready. We got a nice interview coming up. Yeah. Takeover Tuesday. Monsters Radio Live.
Nine, six,
49, but you gotta press 1, but you better be monsters. Don't call in here and tell me, excuse me, monsters, can I get on the line, please? No, we'll hang up on your ass and choose somebody else. You did. So, all right, but you can promote whatever it is you do. We don't care if you're a babysitter, an author, an actor, you know, whatever it is that you do, you can call in and promote yourself for free. So, all right, let's go over here and check in with the ladies, you know what I mean, see what they got going on, how they feel about a Takeover Tuesday. So, how you feeling tonight, Miss Unbelievable? Hello.
I am feeling monstrous, you know. I'm on the countdown, so can't complain. Yeah, can't complain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what's up. What about you, Jazzy B? How you feeling?
Jazzy B is in monstrous recovery, goddamn.
Monstrous recovery.
I remember.
What?
Whew, y'all know I had carnival all from Thursday to yesterday, so I'm recovering on Takeover Tuesday.
So you were monstrously.
Woo.
Okay. So, you know, we got other things for you guys coming up. You know, we got the who's bumping who, who's getting fat. Matter of fact, what's some of the topics we're going to talk about on that tonight, Miss Unbelievable?
Okay, we got some Roseanne Barr, you know, and we got some Drake. We got some Azalea Banks. Let's see who else we could throw in. We got some Nicki Minaj up in there. Yeah.
Okay. That's what's up.
To name
that's
a
what's
few.
Up. What else we got coming up a little bit later there, Jazzy?
Oh, we got an interview that we're doing with Justin. He is a fashion designer. He is awesome. He's doing his thing out here grinding, getting it. So he will be on for an interview tonight. We'll talk about and discuss what he got going on, his brand, and what he got coming up.
Okay. Well, I don't think he's playing, because I think he might be here already. It is. So let's go ahead and take our little quick breather, and we're going to come back, jump in with Justin, and see what's going on in the fashion world and how he got to the point that he's at. Y'all cool with that?
Absolutely.
Awkward. Okay. That's what's up. So, all right. So, you know how we do it. This is underground radio, but these are where the underground artists are above ground and they're making quick. So, check it out. Here's some new music, at least in our rotation. Y'all might already have it. I don't know. But check it out. I got to spin this one because she getting it in with Chance the Rapper, who's from Chicago, which is bringing attention to the Midwest scene. And this lady right now, she kind of hot right now. This is from Cardi B. This is called Best Life. Monsters Radio, Takeover Tuesday. You don't like what I'm playing? Call in and take over then. Or I'ma spin all night night. Yeah, I'ma spin all night night.
I'm living my best life. Made a couple M's with my best friends. Turned all my L's into lessons. You see the whip pulling up, it's like screw. Dream pulling up, I'm like screw. I'm living my best life. It's my birthday, at least that's what I'm dressed like.
I'm like Big Pop mixed with Tupac. I'm like Machiavelli, Nita, Little Caesar pizza. I be hot and ready. Nigga, you a pussy and a rat. You like Tom and Jerry. Nigga, you ain't ballin'. You just talking, that's that commentary. I was in the field, man, I slayed for this. Had to talk to God, drop down and pray for this. To my surprise, he replied, say you made for this. I seen the car, wanted, then I went and paid for it. Cash. Hit the take, yeah, I hit the race, hit the dash, dash. That's when they came for me on Twitter with the backlash. Cardi B is so problematic, it's the hashtag. I can't believe they wanna see me lose that bad. They talking junk and they stink these hoes mad trash. I'm giggling, can let the devil have the last laugh. Ain't no more beefing, I'm just keeping to myself. I'm my own competition, I'm competing with myself.
I told y'all I'm living my best life. I told y'all I'm living my best life. I made a couple L's with my best friends. Turned all my L's into lessons. You see the whip pulling up, it's like skirt. Dreams pulling up, it's like skirt.
best life. It's my birthday, at least I'm wearing the rest night.
You don't like money, I can see it in your eye. You don't like winning, I can see it in your tie. Better be careful with these women when you trickin', sendin' flies. She count money in her sleep and she don't never spend a night. But she trappin' and she had to make it happen for her life. Don't be mad because she havin' shit, you had it your whole life. We had baggage on our flights, we had badges on our asses. You got passes in your life, you had gadgets on your bike. Got work magic, got work magic, got work magic in my life. And that guala like Ayala, cause that bag just fixed my life. And y'all know good and damn well I don't want no champagne. But can we please get some more champagne? Please no Andre, G like Von Che, reach like Ron James, pep talk from Yonsei. Remember my hands had ash like Pompeii. Now they hold cash, won't peak like Dante. I told y'all,
I'm living my best life.
I told y'all,
I said I'm living my best life. I made a couple L's with my best friends. Turned all my L's into lessons. You see the whip pulling up, it's like skirt. Dreams pulling up, it's like skirt. I'm living my best life. It's my birthday, at least that's what I'm dressed like.
I said I never had a problem showing y'all the real me. Hair when it's fucked up, crib when it's filthy. Way before the deal me, strip to pay the bills me. Before I fix my teeth, man, those comments used to kill me. But never did I change, never been ashamed. Never did I switch, stories stay the same. I did this on my own, I made this a lane. Y'all gotta bear with me, I've been through some things. Went from small ass apartments to walking red carpets. Pissy elevators, now every dress is tailored. This some real life fairy tale, Cinderella shit. I got further than them hoes that I will ever get. And that only goes to show that only God knows. I took pictures with Beyonce, I'm in mama nose. I'm the rose that came from the concrete and the rose. I'm like gold, man, I'm toast and I'm floating, hey.
I told y'all, I'm living my best life.
I told y'all,
I said I'm living my best life. I made a couple M's with my best friends. Turned on my L's into lessons. You see the whip pulling up, it's like skirt. Dreams pulling up, it's like skirt. I'm living my best life. It's my birthday, at least I wear them dressed like skirt, skirt. Going down right now, skirt, skirt. Jamie Foxx in your town like skirt, skirt. Money piling up and all the blacks coming down.
Yeah.
I told
okay.
y'all, I told y'all.
Okay.
I told y'all.
Yeah, I like that. I had to play that.
I like that.
I'm feeling that. Yeah. What you say? Yeah. It may not be my birthday, but I'm dressed like it.
Oh.
You did with a lot of swag. I'm just saying, Cardi B, Monsters Radio Live, take over Tuesday. You don't like where I'm standing, you can call in and take over the show. 424-243-9649. But for right now, we got some business to attend to. So, all right, Jazzy, I believe we got Justin over here on the line. Should we go over here and check in with it right quick and see if that's him?
Yeah. Check in.
Okay, let's check in right quick. 404-514. I think you heard that bing in your ear. What's good?
What's going on? How y'all doing?
We're doing pretty good. Who we got on the line?
Yeah, this is Justin, the CEO of JWH Apparel.
There it is, the man of
hours. What's happening? How y'all doing today?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, man, just working hard, you know, getting ready for the big weekend, the big lifestyle pop-up event. So just been putting a lot of hours and running a lot of grease in here, you know.
Okay, that's what's up. So you have to break all that down for us throughout this interview. So who I got here tonight with us, I am DJ E-Monster. I also have Miss Unbelievable, and as you know, Jazzy B is here as well. I'll let you say what's up to them right quick.
Hey, what's going on, Jazzy? How you?
What's happening, Justin? What's up?
Man, just making it happen, you know, just trying to stay above this water and keep this fashion on top of the water as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead, Unbelievable. Jump in here, Unbelievable.
Hey.
How you doing, Unbelievable?
I am absolutely fabulous.
Can't wait to hear what you have for us tonight.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm ready to, you know, dive right in. So, yeah, I'm an open book. You can ask as many questions as you like, and we can engage and keep the audience, you know, interactive as well.
Okay. Well,
how
we usually start out around here, we like to get to know the people that we're going to interview. So go ahead and tell us about who you are, I mean, outside of the business. I mean, who are you outside of that? I mean, are you a father? Are you a sibling? So on and so forth.
Right, right. Okay. Well, no, not a father as of right now. Actually, I'm originally from Connecticut. I've been here in Atlanta, Georgia for a little over 16 years. You know, transitioned from in the Pennsylvania area, and I was going to college, played a little bit of football in college. So once I finished that, you know, just wanted to find a little bit more outside of what I was doing. And Atlanta just happened to be on my top five to move down to. So, you know, made that transition, and pretty much here I am. No siblings, only child. So I'm more of a trend type setter. I think I like to jump and make leaps. Mm-hmm. And so being here in Atlanta, it's really allowed me to spread my wings and, you know, network and basically build my own brand, you know, my identity. So that's just a little scope about me. And my background in fashion, you know, came about as an adolescent. And basically how that started was, you know, my grandfather always kept me in some of the finest fashionable brands. And being, you know, when you're younger, you kind of want to follow your elders. So that's kind of how that went. Just continue to grow within my teen years. And now my adult lifehood is still within my bloodline. So that's where the fashion actually came about. So.
Okay. Now I'm going to take a dab back just a little bit, for a hot second, just a little bit. I know you said you played football in college. You know, I played
right.
a little football. I basically played the bench. But I'm just saying, what position did you play, bro?
Yeah, man. I was one of those people who hit you in the mouth. I played defensive end. So, again, I had that aggressive streak. So, yeah, I basically in high school and college, man, we were real vicious on the defensive side of the ball. So that's where I kicked in.
Okay, that's what's up. That's what's up. So, let me let the ladies ask you a question too, before I keep going, because, bro, I'll get all excited and just run off with the whole interview. They'll be looking at me like, I'm crazy. Ms. Unbelievable,
right.
Do you have a question at this moment?
Yeah, like, so you're in fashion. What is a go-to piece that every man and woman should have in their closet?
So, yeah, I mean, let's say for the man, I want to say a nice, solid, foundational shoe. I think shoes really build the actual wardrobe of the man. You can accessorize it, you can colorize it, and it adds a lot more value. I mean, nowadays, a lot of people, they really don't wear a lot of business suits unless it's for a business, you know, occasion. So the trends are more so leaning towards that more European look, you know, button-up shirt with a blazer and a pair of hard bottoms. So, you know, I have probably over 50 in my collection alone, and I continue to add. So I think that, you know, just from the man standpoint, the shoes definitely can identify the outfit. Now for the female, I think handbags. I mean, a lot of you know, are up on your handbags, your Louis Vuitton bags, your Gucci bags, Prada. So, you know, women are big into accessorizing. So I think, you know, an essential bag is really key to adding towards that outfit. You know, so it just adds a little bit of flair. And of course, you know, you probably have a lot more in the bag than a man has, as far as, you know, your essentials, you know, your makeup, your comb, your brush. So, yeah, I think a fly handbag definitely can help the female's wardrobe.
Okay. So what was the first thing that you designed that you was like, yeah, I did that?
So I actually, when I got into custom clothing, you know, that was something that really, where I was able to use my creativity and my creative eye, because I have a pretty good fashionable eye. And what that means is I don't so much, you know, put colors and make a match. I think more about what type of mood I'm in, you know, and that just helps me to put my outfit together. So in the custom clothing world, it's all about the patterns. It's all about the different fabrics. It's all about the tweed. So, you know, for me, that just kind of brings things to light. So, you know, my creativity and my visual eye helped me to actually make some customized pieces. Now, I work alongside my tailors, and they actually put the pieces together for me. So it was more of a team effort. But again, the measuring, the body types, the colorizing, I mean, that's all me. So I think that was the really unique part about, you know, putting together a styling outfit or a design at this point.
Okay. Chazzy?
My question is a simple question. Knowing everything that you've been through now and everything that you're still going through, if you could take all the knowledge that you have now and talk to your younger self, what is something that you would tell yourself?
Well, I mean, I would say one of the biggest things my mom always said was to be patient. Patient in, you know, the fashion industry is key. I mean, in life in general, you know, things kind of don't happen overnight. And I think when I first, you know, got my business started, which was back in 2011, I wanted it right away. It was just like you're a new baby, you're excited. So I had to develop certain skill sets. You know, I had to develop some key relationships and, you know, study some of the bigger fashion companies that are been around a long time. You know, of course, when you own your own business, it's not going to, you know, bring the money in right away. So you have to be creative. You have to add, you know, different elements to your brand. You have to continue to, right, you know, to grow and be hungry. So for me, you know, it wasn't just about being a stylist or a personal shopper. It was about, okay, what else can I add value towards my brand? So I expanded into doing, you know, Dress for Success workshops, you know, helping out in the community with that. And then I started to involve in different aspects of fashion events, you know, whether I was a sponsor or whether I was just, maybe I provided an accessory for one of the actual panelists who were being honored. So it was just actually, you know, providing a service, but my brand was still attached to it. So right, I think that, you know, that allowed me to grow into the space I'm in now, you know, which is, you know, moving more towards production of fashion events. So, you know, it's just like a leap and bound for me. You know, it took a couple of triumphs for me to get to where I am, and I'm still, you know, growing. This is not something I say I'm done doing. It's just a matter of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel from where I first started in the industry.
Right. Okay. My other question is, what do you think the most important lesson that you have learned through your journey?
Most important lesson, stay consistent. I mean, you know, again, when you're talking about fashion, it's not just the styling component. It's like you have to study the industry, you know, following some of the top seamstress, the top designers that have been doing this for a long time. You know, one of the things I admire, let's say for Versace, is, you know, it just didn't happen in, you know, menswear. And branched into women's wear. Then you had the cologne and perfume. I mean, it just expanded upon. So, you know, again, I think consistency with most of your high power fashion brands is the key for longevity. So, right, you know, they didn't get stale. I think they kind of recreated some of the things they did well, and they just added upon what the people were wanting. You know, sometimes you have to take yourself out of the equation. You know, and that's what I focused right on this year. You know, it wasn't really about me. I think it was more about, well, how can I enhance other brands around me? How can I, you know, build more partnerships? And I think along that journey, you know, more respect is given. Because, again, when you're launching a brand, it's all about, you know, how you can expand it. But, you know, like for me, I was a little bit scared at first just as far as partnering with other brands, because you never know what can go wrong. But the lessons that I learned was, you know, it can be a valuable experience as well. So, you know, I stay consistent on that journey, and still to the day, I'm still pushing forward. So I would tell you that consistency is definitely a key.
Okay. All right. E, that's all my questions that I have. You can go ahead and take over like you do.
Yeah. Okay. And seeing that we're speaking about journeys and everything, you know, here's one thing that I really want to touch when I read your bio. Now, you did a lot of things to help, like kids, those type of things. Like you mentioned something just a moment ago about, I believe it was a seminar that you have. I want you to tell us a little bit more about that, go into that. But before you do, I want you to tell us why do you give back? Because you don't have to. I mean, you could just keep doing what you're doing and just keep it moving. But why do you give back?
Yeah, well, you know, me growing up as an only child, I think it was, you know, just kind of I had to develop certain things on my own. And I see with a lot of our youth and adolescents, they struggle sometimes where, of course, there's different peer pressures or they may not have a direction. You know, the key with me was I did have direction. I just had to, you know, take that leap out. So the reason I like to give back and, you know, tell my story is because I can relate. I think relating to the youth and, you know, seeing where they are at this point and being able to provide that additional, you know, confidence booster, because a lot of, I think, our youth lack that, or they just follow what they see on TV. So if I can be a positive role model and impact them where I can actually, you know, I take myself to their level. I think, you know, a lot of times that means I may say, okay, well, I'm dressed up in a suit, but I'm still a person that went through some adversities, you know, going through high school and private high school and having to go to private college. You know, growing up in the inner city, that wasn't the expectation. You know, the path wasn't just paid for me to go to private school. And, you know, I had to actually work hard. So I think giving back, it's a reward. It's refreshing. It allows me to continue to, you know, push and do what I do, because I know so many of our youth, they may not have that directive. They just, you know, it starts from the home. So if they don't have much guidance there, at least to fulfill some of their dreams, then they may not really push forward from not just from personally, but I think even from a career. So, yeah, I think that's what's driven me to actually continue to push to talk to the high schools, to talk to the middle schools, and provide them some insights on just key tips that I learned when I was younger. You know, these weren't things that I think my parents, you know, I was the first to go to college and graduate. So that's a big deal, you know, for me to be first generation. Mm-hmm. That's definitely, you know, where I see a lot of our youth come from households where they're first generation, or maybe they may have a broken home. So again, you know, it's about telling a story and being able to relate. So that's really the key to why I continue to want to give back.
Right, right. Well, hey, congratulations on being the first one in your family to make that accolade.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah. So go ahead and bring us up to date, bro. We did a lot of your history stuff, so go ahead and bring us up to date. What you got going on now, and, you know, definitely, I guess before you get to that, tell people how can they connect with you outside of this interview.
Well, yeah, you can definitely connect with me on social media. I'm on Instagram. That's at JWH Apparel. APPAREL. Also have a fan page on Facebook. That's JWH Apparel Image Consultant with an S. Twitter at JWH Apparel. And also Facebook, Jay Henley. So that's a little bit more of a behind the scenes about me, but also I do put information about fashion and do fashion blogs and things of that nature. So but definitely for my up and coming events, Instagram, you can also log on to www.jwhapparel.com. If you're interested in seeing all of my services that I provide, let's move into what's coming up. The big project that I've been building on since last year as I said in the interview earlier, I kind of moved towards the production side of the fashion industry, meaning wanting to produce events. So, I felt like I've been, networking with some of the top, entertainers, styling some of the top entertainers. I'm like going to fashion events and seeing how they're actually, the productions are. So I felt like I wanted to do something a little different, or at least maybe not, it hasn't been done, but maybe it hasn't been done in a long time. So I had this concept that I wanted to do, was fuse the fashion and the beauty industries together. Because again, in the hair industry, they make you look great, and in the fashion, they style you to look great. So they work hand in hand. So what I came up was what we call lifestyle pop-up. So with the lifestyle, that means it's basically whatever you're doing towards your lifestyle. And the pop-up component means the actual event can be moved in different areas. It can be moved to different venues or different cities. So it wasn't just pinning me to one location, but you can continue to grow it in different markets. And I think that's the way fashion is. It grows in different markets at faster speed. Some are slower, but the end result is it continues to grow. So the pop-up concept, has been around, like I stated, but for me, it was like, okay, let's add a panel discussion about some of the key components in the fashion and the beauty industries. Let's find out some of the people who style you or they do your hair. They work very hard, but they never have a platform to talk about that. They're always behind the scenes. Some of your tailors, they never get to talk about, how they custom made an outfit. It's just a matter of they're behind the scenes. So I had the platform provided to me. So I said, well, let me utilize it. And having a panel of experts on talk about that, as well as having some designers, come out and maybe feature some of their designs, which is more of a showcase component. I think the excitement is that people are used to going to fashion shows where they just may see some models walking on a runway. And then by the time the show is over, most of the designers are tired, so they leave. So they really can't interact with them. Where in this case, you actually have an opportunity to have a Q&A, have an engagement session, maybe exchange a business card. Maybe you can actually, the person you were following, you get to meet them. So that is, something that this whole month I've been working towards, just kind of pulling all my resources together. And I have some key individuals who are supporting me right now that are promoters in the industry. And they said, man, this is something different. It's like fusion, both industries together. So it's like an exciting situation. And me personally, like I said, being I'm out and networking all the time, I kind of pulled myself back and said, let me see if I put some like a production together where I facilitate things, but I also have key people who help, and they actually get, the spotlight as well. So it's not just me. Well, okay, the brand is still behind it, but it's like intertwining other brands alongside me. So our first actual launch pop-up will be this Sunday, June 3rd, at Escobar Restaurant and Lounge in Atlanta, Georgia. Owner 2 Chainz actually owns the restaurant along with another business partner of his. And so doing them in those settings, I think, again, it provides, that platform for individuals. It starts small, but again, it's an intimate set. We will add in musical talent, so we'll probably feature some music performances as well. We'll also include vendors, so add in clothing vendors who can come and showcase some of their clothing and product line. And then we'll also have, your media and your fashion editorial people come in. Having you guys, to be featured as a live radio podcast, there is also an amazing opportunity. So I think, again, everybody gets to spread their wings. And if I'm able to impact not just the fashion or the beauty, but anybody who's in that event, that's a success for me. The money part is not the focal point. The end game is to continue to grow this. I have an idea of what it can do, you know, as far as with the production. But again, it takes just the buy-in from all parties. So I think just like the Barner Brothers Hair Show, it started on a platform where, you know, the concept came together to bring hairstylists across the country to compete. And then they have vendors that come and, you know, they can sell their products. They have live entertainment. So, you know, again, I didn't see really anything like that on a consistent base. I mean, you know, you can go to Vegas with the Magic Show, or you can go to Fashion Week. But again, most of those are only annual events. So my thing is to do them every 30 days. So it becomes a monthly mixer, and move them into different venues every 30 days. Then it may get to the point where somebody may want to do one in a different state. So once you pilot, all you have to do is reach out to the markets and see what they have going on. So you can fuse it into something that maybe they have a fashion weekend, but they may not have a pop-up where you can bring, you know, key experts to their city and even, you know, find talent and maybe recruit some people to actually build the market where they actually want the event. So again, it's an opportunity for others to, you know, become part of the movement. So that's just a little bit about what's coming up, and obviously, you know, continually grow that. And of course, my Dress for Success workshops, they're also growing. Have one of those coming up June 29th, where I'll be working with the Upward Bound programs, where those are the first generation programs, where I'll be teaching business etiquette as well as effective communication. So there'll be two sessions, one for the males and one for the females, where I have a counterpart of mine talk to the females, and we'll provide, you know, clothing props, demonstrations. You know, I'll also teach them how to tie a tie. We'll have an engagement session. They'll get a certificate of completion after the session. So again, you know, it's like switching lanes. Once the pop-up is done, then I move into the community service aspect. So that's really my ultimate mission, is to touch all areas. If I can impact the youth as well as the adults, I think it's not bad.
Right. Okay. We'll see if the ladies got any more questions for you. It's unbelievable. You have more questions at this moment?
You mentioned buy-in. What do you think is the toughest buy-in that you're running across for people to just buy in? What do you think is the toughest or difficult part of it?
The buy-in in terms of?
Buy-in to your concept.
Okay, so for the pop-up, I think it's because, you know, again, a lot of times when you're dealing with individuals in the same industry, they're going to have their opinions where they may have not have thought about jumping out there. So it's kind of like, well, do you think that'll work? Or, you know, don't you want to have the fashion show still? I'm like, nah, I don't think that's the ultimate goal right now. I think that, you know, fashion shows have their own lane. So what I was thinking is creating a lane where people behind the fashion shows can talk about what they do as far as the styling when they're up all night. So, you know, buy-in, you're never going to have 100% participation. So what you have to do is paint the picture for people who may not have bought in at the beginning. So, you know, it may be where you have a conversation. You might ask them, well, you as a stylist, have you ever actually done anything outside the box that may have been fashion related, but not necessarily styling? You know, so again, you can have these intimate conversations with people who are in the same industry. And I think that's what I've done. Is the panel that I have are some of, you know, I have some of the top designers on the panel, some of the top beauty experts, hairstylists. But before I selected them, it was more of like a Q&A session. You know, it was building a relation with them beforehand. It wasn't just like, well, you look like you're a good stylist, I want you to talk to people about, you know, your benefits of your business. I wanted to make it where they can actually share their story like I am. So I had to become, you know, an advocate to learn more about them before I actually just selected them to be a part of the panel, because that's the foundational piece. You know, it's just like when you go to court, you have a jury. you have to be selected to be on the jury. I mean, you have to fill out a questionnaire. You have, you know, it's like a background check done. So I did the same kind of selection process without the background check, like criminally. But, you know, I actually researched their businesses. I researched how long they've been in their industry. I researched what they've done to impact the community. Because, again, you want to make sure you're walking the same silo with individuals that are actually representing what you're doing. So that's been the goal for me, is just to break the actual, I wouldn't say doubters, I would just say the skeptics.
Okay. Last question. So have you ran across any discrimination as being a fashion designer and the fashion guru that you are? Have you come across any discrimination, any stereotypes?
I would say not direct discrimination, but I mean, it exists. You know, you can actually, it can be where your brand, so for me, when I launched JWH Apparel, I wanted it to be where my face wasn't really in the front end of it. It was more about, you know, the distinctfulness about the brand, the elegance, you know, just the foundational pieces. I didn't really want to put my face in the front end just because, you know, again, the discrimination, it can be very powerful if you do that. I think, you know, if you have a brand that can be very diversified, you know, you want to let that be on the front side beforehand. Now, those who know me personally, that's different. But when you're expanding to different markets or you're trying to, you know, do business with clientele who may be of different ethnic races, you have to be mindful of that. So I think the discrimination would have been more upfront had it just been, I put my face on things right away, or, you know, I come out just swinging and just say, this is who I am. But I want to, you know, the name of my business is my name. You know, the J is for my first name, the W, my middle, and the H, my last name. So I think that alone just, it has to have some distinctfulness about it. So that's really what I would say with the discrimination. It wasn't upfront, but, you know, I was able to really maneuver a little bit more, being that I just wanted the actual brand to be on the front end versus me personally, my face being on that.
All right, nice. Jasmine, any more questions?
I don't have any more questions for you, but I do want to commend you on your Upward Bound program and your outreach with the children, because I am very, very passionate about kids. Being a mom of myself, I would love to get involved in your program.
Okay. Are you here in Atlanta?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, great. Well, I would be more than happy to talk to you. And definitely, you know, if you have your own children, that's a plus. Because if I can actually provide tips or insight to your children, that's a benefit to you. Meaning, if you learn something that I can enhance, then you can go ahead and duplicate it. So very interested in that.
Absolutely. I think it's dope. Anybody who is willing to take time out with kids and spend time with them and teach them stuff, because they damn sure ain't learning nothing. This radio and this internet and, you know, it's crazy how our youth is going downhill.
Right. Well, yeah, that's like I stated, when I grew up, it was all about providing for my legacy, or I would say my last name. So I wanted to leave an impact. When my grandfather was living, you know, he left an impact on me as a young kid. So I think that was really something that pushed me forward now to continue to grow in that space. And, you know, always want to, you know, be a role model in some capacity. Even though, like I said, I don't have siblings, I have a stepbrother, stepsister, but we didn't grow up together. So I had to kind of create lanes for myself. And that's where, you know, me giving back, I think that's really what continues to stay in my bloodline. So.
Okay. Well, hey, brother, thanks for the interesting interview. I want you to tell the people again before, you know, you have any last words or any shout-outs you want to do, please tell the people again how can they connect with you, especially if they want to be a part of, you know, your pop-up thing and anything else you got going on.
Absolutely. Definitely can follow me on the social media platforms on Instagram at JWH Apparel. That's APPAREL. Also on Twitter at JWH Apparel. My fan page on Facebook is JWH Apparel and Image Consultants. You can actually find me on Facebook personal page, Jay Henley. And my website, www.jwhapparel.com. My information is also linked on my Instagram page, so you can call me directly for any questions or any consultation services, or you just want to discuss fashion tips. I'm available for all purposes.
Sorry, I had myself on mute. So you got any last words or any shout outs you want to do?
I would say we definitely want to shout out to my business partner, Dino Meadows. He's a, you know, he's actually worked hard with me on the pop-up, lifestyle pop-up. He's in the entertainment industry and Metro Boys Entertainment. So he's been around for a very long time in that industry. So, you know, we work pretty much hand-in-hand with Fusion, our network, together. So definitely want to give him his due diligence. And, of course, you know, God, of course, for guiding me and, you know, always providing opportunities for me, my mom, you know, my family back in Connecticut. So definitely keep your eyes open. We're gonna continue to push forward, and I look forward to continue to grow the pop-up movement, but also the Dress for Success workshops. I think they're on our way to moving into different states. So if you're out there, definitely give me a call. You know, reach out. We can make it happen.
Okay, there you go, people. Remember, if you didn't have your pen and pencil with you, you can listen to this archive after I choke out and the show's over. 24/7, 365, all you got to do is press play. Get in, and you can find them. That's all you got to do. So, all right, we still got time for our who's bumping who and who's getting fat, but we're going to take a breather right quick. I guess I should let the ladies say their last words to you. Ooh, I almost jumped up out of here. I would have got beat up. It's unbelievable. You got any last words for our host tonight, our guest?
You know, it just sounds interesting. I work with the kids, too, so always looking for etiquette tips for the kids. Always looking for something different for them to strive to excellence. And just keep doing what you're doing, and pop-up shops can be popped up anywhere. So if you want to pop up in Minnesota, just let Monsters Radio know, and we can see what we can do to get it up here.
I will be more than happy to. You know, definitely that's the goal, is to expand in different markets and expand the brand in those markets. So, you know, we can definitely add that to the calendar.
Will
hey,
do.
That's a wonderful idea, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's a wonderful idea. Yes. So, all right, Jazzy, any last words?
I don't have any last words other than thank you for coming to do the interview and connecting with me. That's it.
No, thank you. Thank you, Jazzy, for the opportunity. Everybody.
That's what's up. Thank you, monstrously. So, all right, we're going to take a breather right quick, and then we're going to get back with our who's bumping who and who's getting fat, also known as the gossip lifestyle around here. So, all right, we'll get to our entertainment news, but I got some new Ray J for y'all. I'm playing this because Young Ma was at the sound set, and I'm telling y'all, I seen her in person for the first time getting it in, and she really did her thing. So I'm on my big Young Ma kick right now.
So check it out. This is Ray J featuring Chris Brown. I think it's really Chris Brown featuring Ray J. But we're going to let it be what it be. This is Who You Came With, Monsters Radio, on a Takeover Tuesday with a roar. You need. But it will come slow. There we go. Ah.
I'm all out, finna ball out. Been on my shit when you call out. I've been up since the eighth grade. I got an actress and a playmate. Do you wanna ride with me, babe? In a six passenger full of models. Got your best friends, I'm a kid, cause they know I'm a leader, never follow. Might put some buttons up. I'm the realest nigga, no actor. Hit it from the back, I'm a factor.
With your face, ooh. You can pick the time and the place. Take your time, it's whatever, I don't mind, I can wait. You got girls, I got guys, it's a date. And your girlfriends gotta be fine. If they ain't, they a dub. We don't do nothing less than a 9 or 8. Ooh. I ball out, we go all out. Pull out the loud pack and the roll out. Shorty been bad since the 8th grade. Lil Miss Kitty is a stage name. I just blew 13 bands on 25 bottles, cause them niggas tried to flex on me. Found myself tripping by the bitch. Shorty say you need some milk, bitch. She came and put her breasts on me.
Ball out, finna ball out. Been on my shit when you call out. I've been up since the 8th grade. I got an actress and a playmate. Do you wanna ride with me, babe? In a six passenger full of models. Got your best friends, I'm a kid, cause they know I'm a leader, never follow. Might put some buttons up. I'm the realest nigga, no actor. Hit it from the back, I'm a factor.
Okay, y'all. So that's that new Ray J. Chris Brown and Young M.A. Ooh, I'm just saying, where was Ray J? Did y'all hear Ray J? Was he doing backup or something? I don't know. Hey, I'm not hating. I'm just saying I'm a big Ray J fan, but where was he? All I heard was Chris Brown. It is what it is. So it's unbelievable. So we got this Who's Bumping Who and Who's Getting Fat, also known as The Gossip Lifestyle. So what we on tonight, mama? Hello. The line's not working. I ain't got another song to play. I'm not set up.
Oops, I was on mute. Oops, my bad. Oops.
Woo.
Okay, there we go.
My bad. I thought I took it out. Roseanne Barr canceled after racist tweet to Valerie Jarrett. Okay, so y'all know Roseanne's show was popular. It was popular when it came back on. Everybody was watching it. Everybody was talking about it. But the Marshmallow MAGA TV mom, it was the 80s mm-hmm. TV show, and then they brought it back on ABC. And so,
I was surprised at that. I was surprised that they even brought it back. I was like, okay, what they trying to do, like the Friends, where they do the whole reunion shows. But okay, yeah, they have brought it back, but they canceled it again. Okay, go ahead. My bad.
Well, they canceled it. Now you got to listen to the reason why they canceled it. According to TMZ, Barr sent slurs at Barack Obama, former aide Valerie Jarrett. And it said Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equal VJ. She apologized. Over racist rant. She apologized for what she was trying to say. But Disney, ABC was at ABC. They were like, absolutely not. You gotta go. They don't want, no NAACP. They don't want nobody who's connected to Barack, the Barack lovers, to get the boycotting. Mm-hmm. They show. So they decided to pull the plug, and she was in prime time. Huge. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, originally, I think I don't know if it was due to ratings, but I know one part of due to her downfall originally, because she was at a hiatus right before she did this, is when she did the opener. I don't remember if it was a baseball game or something, but she sang the national anthem, and at the end of it, she went and gave up the middle finger. And I don't know if it was a protest or what was going on at the time or whatever. But right after that, her shit went down. Everybody pulled out on her. Pew. You dig? So now she had a comeback, and now she's doing racial slurs, and now you out again. I don't know if you can come back. I don't think you old enough to come back. You dig? How you feel about the situation?
But when she came back,
have you ever watched the show? Sorry, go ahead. You got more. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. When she came back on her show, it was still a little controversy. She had controversy because, she was talking about Trump and all those and how, she voted for Trump. So even in the midst of her comeback, there was still controversy.
You did the Trump thing and now that? Oh, yeah. Okay. You still with us, Dad?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am.
How do you feel about the conversation? Roseanne?
How do I feel about it? How do I feel about what? What did you ask me?
Yeah, have you ever watched the show
Roseanne? Oh, yeah, that was my favorite show as a kid. I love Roseanne.
Okay. How does it make you feel knowing that she made those comments towards a person, as part of my gossip session? Did you hear what Miss Unbelievable said? The topic
I did was. Not hear the question. I didn't hear the topic.
Oh, okay. Anyway, you can sum it up right
now. I was please sum it up, because I was in the middle of dying. And
did you put your hands
my
up?
My cough was so loud. Yeah, I did.
It's unbelievable.
It was me
I finally
this time.
I got to say it.
Say what?
Now she missed it. Oh, man. Oh, she said she was
absolutely.
You had to put your hands up.
She ain't never around when we have these put your hands up moments.
Oh, good Lord. Who's coughing out? Oh, good Lord. Put your hands up and pat your chest. Good night. Good night. Who's choking
it
out?
Was Jazzy.
You choking out over there? Good. Jazzy, my goodness. Y'all two skin teas need to, you know, grow some chest hairs or something on them little chests. I mean, y'all be able to inhale and not exhale and die.
It's unbelievable. My chest is too pretty for hair. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is. My bad, boo. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I forgot we was on Takeover Tuesday, not Wet Wet Wednesday. My bad.
But
wait,
it's gonna be fun.
So we are at the end of the show. So anything in here now is actually into the archive. So I mean, we can still get through our entertainment news though. But so what else do we got in the who's bumping who, who's getting fat in the gossip lifestyle?
All right, Azalea Banks, here she goes again, wants to witness the downfall of BET. Compared to a few years ago, BET has been losing interest among viewers for the original content, with some of their most popular programming being canceled. One of their most successful yearly happenings, however, is always the BET Awards. Bringing in together hip-hop and R&B communities, BET has always been the forefront of celebrating black culture. While efforts have been praised, Azalea wants to see them shut down for good. Is likely due to her previous comment about black media companies damaging brands in 2015, preferably Diddy's Revolt TV. She wants their show to be taken down once and for all by Diddy, by P. Diddy buying up more properties and more of movies to put on his station. She's never to be silent. She's going to keep on tweeting, and she wants Revolt to be as big as BET. Let them sink, and if it's up to her, she's going to clarify that all BET shows should be canceled and not celebrated.
Right. Yeah, I'm like, wow, because I think in the beginning, I think she was like, really for Revolt, because back then even she was on Let BET Die, you know, but now she's like, let them both die. But okay. So that's what she's on, huh? Okay, you know, she's always vocal.
Yeah.
I think they were saying, like, she had merit. She might have some merit to what she's saying, but they want to hear more on what she has to say on the take of her comments. And things like that. So, yeah, so there'll be more on this subject coming up in the future. And you know how Unbelievable is. She always gets y'all to update. So, y'all make sure y'all stay tuned for that.
Absolutely. A new one, Mariah Carey. You remember her beau gave her that huge diamond ring? She sold that mug. Mariah Carey said that ring must go. I want money for that bling that I got. Because, you know, she sold it for $10 million.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, which ring is this?
It's the one that that one guy gave it to her, that millionaire gave it to her. Her ex-fiancé, remember she was engaged to that one millionaire.
Okay. And he gave,
but she was
okay,
still
so
married, and he gave her, he gave her that ring.
Okay, so he gave her an engagement ring.
It was from the millionaire's name, James Parker, gave her a it was more than $2 million ring when they were together. She sold it. Okay, so her ring was worth $2.1 million. Okay, she sold it for $10 million. from the millionaire that she was engaged to, you know, that fat one, you know, the big boy, James Clark.
Okay, I ain't know about him. Okay. But,
oh, yeah.
But see, this is the whole thing in here to me. But maybe he was just like, gone, keep it. I'm going to ride it off or something like that. I don't know. But if I'm not mistaken, now, you could sell your old wedding ring, but an engagement ring is a gift dependent upon y'all getting married. So, did she just sell his property for $10 million? Ain't that a felony? I'm just saying.
No. So the law states, crazy. Now let me tell you what the law states. The law states it all depends who breaks the engagement off. Because the engagement ring is a promise ring or a gift to that person. So let's just say she broke it off. She is entitled to give it back. But if he breaks it off, she's entitled to keep it because then it becomes a gift. And it's up to her to gift that back.
Wait. There's got to be a disclaimer in that clause now. Now, what does she got caught with the homeboy? Does she still get to not call it off? Does she still get to keep the ring because it's considered a gift?
You know, that's that one in the woo, could be, could not. So, yeah,
I know what
it all depends what the... Yeah, it does. It does. It all depends what it, like, why is he breaking it off? Is it because he doesn't want to, or it could be infidelity? It's a thin line for infidelity. You got to be able to prove it. You got to be able to do all that stuff. So, like anything in court, you know, that's a gift. You got to prove that it happened and that she was, you know, showing infidelity. But he knew going in that she was still married to Nick Cannon. She wasn't divorced yet. So he knew the whole where she stood with her marriage and where she stood with her life. So.
Right.
He
okay.
went in.
Well, that's going to come down to, I know that's going to come down to, that's going to come down to whoever got the better lawyer. That's what it's going to come down to. What else we got?
Okay. So Queen Nicki Minaj reveals she's been proposed to 3 times. Says new boy already wants her to pop out a baby Barb. So it's been alleged that Nicki Minaj has been supposed to be liking Eminem. Is that it? Yeah, Eminem. So she's got a book, an album that's titled Queen, and it looks like the whole Nicki Minaj.
Sorry.
Huh?
Are you saying she likes Eminem? Like peanut M&Ms are playing? Or are you saying she's dating Eminem as in Slim Shady?
Slim Shady. It's been tweeting or something like that. It's been on Boss Up. It's not confirmed yet. I'll keep you posted with that one. Yeah.
Just the visual,
so stay
though.
With me. My mom stars. Nicki Minaj and Slim Shady.
Visual
Slim Shady.
Killing me
I'll
right
keep
now.
You posted.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I can see them together for some reason.
Huh.
Okay. I really can.
They have been flirting back and forth on Twitter and him on stage and different things like that. It's not confirmed yet, but yeah. But she's saying that her whole... Go ahead.
When Eminem came out, he was a whole white nigga.
True.
Eminem was hood as fuck. For real.
He's still hood.
And then,
okay. He's politically hood.
Yeah.
Because he can say it because he white. But back to Nicki. Yeah. Her whole message is centered around women empowerment now. She's saying that she knows her worth without any outside validation. Onika is spreading the good news, the good word about self-worth, education, She reveals that three of the four men that she has dated has asked her to marry her. She's denied them because she knows her worth. She insists none Damn. Of that is worth a fake Instagram relationship if you're really not happy with yourself.
Right.
She talks about new boy who was already asking to pop out. And so they're asking, who is she talking about? Eminem, Slim Shady, or Nas? Miss Onika will not rest until she finds exactly who has gotten her eyebrows raised and her heart to go to. She's asking everyone as a queen to appreciate your relationships going forward, making sure that you are going to listen to her album that debuts in 2 months.
Okay.
That's
Nick. Okay. All right. Well, only thing I want to say else to that right there is have y'all seen that Bobby King's video? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. My bad. I'm sorry. I had to play that at the club the other night. I'm used to playing the MP3. It's in my arsenal. But I just so happened to have YouTube up. Somebody came up. They requested it. And I'm one of the very few DJs that don't mind requests as long as you don't offset my groove. And I played it, and the video played. And, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Is that real? Can that be real? I guess. I'm sorry. Takeover Tuesday. It's just been taken over by Nikki's booty. But outside of that, we got any last words, ladies?
Listen, story came up. It's a 50 Cent exposed Floyd Mayweather Jr. for stealing $2 million from him on a bad business deal.
Ooh. Wait, you saying Floyd, $100 million Mayweather? So, $2 million from 50 Cent?
On a bad business deal. That's what it says.
That's not like an HBO special. do it say anything else about it? Does it go into detail?
It says the love between 50 Cent and Floyd Mayweather Jr. is definitely a rocky road, one could say. Either they love each other, are BFF, or they are airing each other on social media. Well, today 50 Cent is showing his disgust in Floyd Mayweather after 50 got word Floyd was doing an event. What is this? Is it Tamar and Mari? Tamar and Mari, who is currently suing 50, pushed him over the edge, made him post on Instagram his account calling Floyd out. It seems Floyd seen the post and text 50, calling 50 out, being a bad friend. Floyd said 50 only cares about himself. And they really sound gay as fuck. I'm sorry. Damn. My bad. Okay.
I think that's the first time during the segment somebody just busted out and said that in the middle of it. But okay, we don't need to around this bitch. Okay.
Okay. So.
That's fucked up.
You said 50 only cares about himself and is not a loyal friend. And 50 once supported Miss Jackson my bad, not Janet, Miss Jackson, who also is suing Floyd at the time. Who was Miss Jackson just suing Floyd? Wait, I gotta go research another story. It says 50 replied with the fact that Floyd stole $2 million from him on a bad business investment and didn't hold it against him. Check the text below, exchange between Floyd and 50. And these pictures is on Instagram, so now I have to go check it out.
Well, I'm just going to say this. They sound like some broke-ass homeboys. They don't sound like they're rich as hell. They sound like some broke-ass homeboys. Only thing, he's talking about $2 million, some broke homeboys talking about a motherfucking bag of weed. You dig? I didn't know they gave $2 million and pay me for that bag of weed. Well, la 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 la. Well, you a bad friend. La 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 on social media. You dig? And you know how they be. I honestly think sometimes this is just for promotion.
I think it's just for promotion. Huh. Yeah, I'm finna send
okay,
you this video.
They
I'm
sound like some bitch assness.
I'm
that bitch assness right there. Like, seriously, like, grow the hell up. Like, for real. It's almost like the Rick Ross and 50, you know, about his baby mama. Like, 50, I'm gonna need you to get a life. Like, for real. Like, come on. You messing with everybody. Baby mama's money, get come on. Step your game up. Step it up. Vivica, everybody, step your game up. Before we stop liking you. You ain't got, he ain't relevant. So, this is how he's gonna do it? Okay. Okay.
Right. Well, I think this is one way how he does it. You dig? He jams out at people.
I just feel like, damn, can't we all get along?
Man, I'm tired of
it's always drama. It's always drama.
Always.
Y'all got too much money. Y'all got way too much money to be having drama between each other. Do something else. Y'all got so much money. Y'all gotta create drama. Come on, like damn. Do something different. Shit.
Like you really get tired. Yeah. You really get tired of them having no Maury sessions. Like, for real.
I'm scared.
Like, well, we do not need to keep going there. And then next thing you know, they're going to be suing each other and we're going to have to go to Judge Judy. Stop it. Just get up out of here.
Damn. Don't run up a check. Go run up a check. Bring me some money. Do something.
But catch me outside and cash me out.
Catch me outside and cash me out.
Catch me outside and cash me out.
If y'all debt bored and y'all need something to do.
Unfortunately, man, you know, we're just going to do it anyway. But, yeah, I'm glad you said that because, hey, I seen a post earlier and they were talking about that, about those girls. You dig? About how they had their instant success. I don't have the video in front of me. I'm trying to find it to speak of all the ladies that they were talking about. Lady Tay, all kinds of guys, all these little, you know what I mean, little quick fame people. And it's like, you know, what made them famous? You know, what obviously it was viral videos, but what is it really that made them famous? You know what I mean? And why are other people not famous that are trying to be famous? I mean, where's the loss in translation? I kind of think this 50 conversation kind of fits into it pretty good. You know what I mean? Because that's what they was on. They was on some funky little drama stuff. You know what I mean? Let's keep it winding. What caught me onto the Cash Me Out girl, I seen her on the TV. I don't know where y'all might have heard her from, but I seen her on the TV. And I'm like, Cash You Out, what? Cash You Out, all right. What show, little lady?
I seen her on Dr. Phil.
That's what, yep, Dr. Phil, that's what I said.
Her and her mom.
Yeah. Yeah, talking
live
before mom and all that. Yeah, she's one of
these
parental kids that just
that was Dr. Phil. Yeah.
Could have been a poster child for beat your kid. I'm just saying.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's that little crazy shit like that is the reason why I think that makes them famous. It's those little crazy things that they do.
Yeah.
That's what keeps 50, as we try to say, he's not. He is relevant because we talk about him. So I think these are one of the ways that he does it. He jumps into mayhem. He causes malice and he causes chaos. And it draws people's attention. And why other people aren't as famous, because we're not into that. You hear us, I'm like, man, grow up, blue, 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 blue. That's why we ain't going to be famous like them. We may be one day, but not where they're at, because they're drama seekers. That's what it is. That's why they're famous and we're not. They're drama seekers. We ain't out there trying to spread all that drama. We ain't trying to do all that, put all our business out there. You need self-snitching.
You know, I'm trying to run from fame. How long I done told you, no, I will not be the face of the company.
I was going to say, do you know how long it took for me to get Jazzy on the radio? Do you know how long it took? I tried to pity her. She's like, I don't give no damn. No, it's not for me. Get it? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to feel right. I'm sorry. I got love for you, my brother, but that's not my thing. I got love for you. Do it, but no. So, yeah. It took a long time.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm still working on it. Don't let him fool y'all.
Yeah, she have her moments. Good Lord, she have her moments when she do. So, all right, y'all. So I got, I guess, any last words on anything tonight?
Yes, I got some last words. Make sure y'all tune in tomorrow night for Wet Wet Wednesday.
Look, we all waiting for the rest.
I just had to do my little voice.
You got something for us, Ms. Unbelievable?
Matt, I'm about to be. You know, I had too much to drink tonight. Man, just enjoy life. Live it to the fullest. And check us out tomorrow. Where Wednesday's about to be panty dropping nasty tomorrow. So stay with us.
Right. Hey, we definitely going to have a splash mix for y'all. So no wonder why you knew what was going on over there in the court system. It's unbelievable. You over there pleading a fifth of Hennessy.
Not Hennessy. I had me some Captain. Hey, Captain. What up, Captain? Captain kept me company.
All right, like the lady said, tune in tomorrow for Wet Wet Wednesday, where it's not all slow, but it's definitely sexy. You dig? But I think we're going to do a splash thing tomorrow, like the lady said, a panty dropper. So, all right, tune in tomorrow. We got independent artists. We got some majors. We got some throwbacks, as we call them on Wednesday night. Show it backs. Ooh-wee. So, all right, tune in tomorrow. And if you're in the Twin Cities, I know there's somewhere popping somewhere tonight, because that's how we do it. We lit 7 days a week. We party every night. So if you're going out tonight, don't drink and drive. Not because I'm trying to be in your business. We need your ass for the ratings amount. I'm up out of here. DJ Monster. Peace.
Miss Unbelievable. Wow.
Jesse D. Out.